Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Well, go ahead and get your Bible. Go with me to 1 Timothy, if you will, in the 6th chapter. This is part number 5 of the journey into a prosperous life. A lot of times, I've repeated this 5 times, but for those of you that didn't hear it first 4 times, I'll just say it for you one more time. And this is a shock. When I first heard this and read about my Bible and saw it, it shocked me. I couldn't believe that God wanted to prosper me. I couldn't believe that God cared about enough of me that he wanted to prosper me. All through the scripture, whether it's Old Testament, whether it's New Testament, God wants to prosper his people. And what we found out and what we've been talking about is prosperity is not just money in your pocket. That's not prosperity. That's probably the lowest realm of real prosperity. Prosperity is the fullness of life, which, by the way, includes money in your pocket. If I can make this statement, and I'll put it up on the overhead for you, being godly will not get you economic gain, but it will make you prosperous. Being godly is expected. Being godly is we as Christians, this is our reasonable service, Romans 12th chapter says. And being godly will get you prosperous. And prosperous means your home is blessed, your family's blessed, your children's blessed, your marriage is blessed, your grandchildren someday are blessed, and your education is blessed, your job's blessed, the hand of God is on you every day. I love this one. Your health is blessed. And when you finally get to the place where you realize this is not just about money. This is about a lifestyle that God wants to take you into your own personal promised land. And as you do, it's an amazing thing. So being godly, which is really our reasonable service, will not, listen to this, get you economic gain. Won't hurt you either in that area. But guess what? But it will make you prosperous. In other words, fulfilling every one of your heart's desire at the end of your life. And that's a rich man, by the way. And so important for us to see that because we come along. And can I just say this? If you talking about gaining economically, then could I take you back to Galatians? What you sow, you let me try it again. What you sow, you
reap.
In other words, if you sow nothing, you get
nothing.
If you sow something, you
sow.
Everything produces, Galatians 1st chapter, after its own kind. So it's impossible for the seed, if you will, of an apple seed to produce a tomato. And it's impossible for a tomato seed to produce a cucumber or a pear. Because everything produces after its own kind. And so when you're in this area and you're depositing and you're putting in something and you're sowing in it with God, that'll bring you economic gain. It's as simple as that. But if you don't put in what you need to put in, you expect it just to fall from the sky. Let me tell you something, it doesn't work that way. And we've been talking about that for 4 examples. I'm not going to rehearse, I'm not going to review, but I would love to encourage you. If you did not get a hold of part 1, 2, 3, and 4, I personally think they were phenomenal. And you need to get them. And, you know, if you don't have the money to get them, talk to them back there. Say, Pastor Jim said I can have them free. But you can have them free if you really don't have the money. If you have the money and you go back there and say, let me have them free because Pastor Jim said I can have them, but I have the money. Guess what? Then liars don't enter into heaven, and you don't want to mess up your entire life over a set of CDs. Go for something much bigger. You know what I'm talking about? And rob the bank or something, you know? No, I'm only kidding, all right? I'm only kidding. Some of you take me so serious, like you write it down, go tell everybody, Pastor told me to go rob a bank. And I'm playing with you right now. You need to stick around and find out what kind of a personality I have. I'm not quite sure myself. 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, verse, if you will, 9 and 10 says this, but those who desire, let's put it up, those who desire, the word desire there has a great passion. In other words, the desire is above everything else. And he makes this statement, those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare. Now, can I just ask you, are you afraid to answer me the question? Would you like to be, do you have some kind of desire to have extra income? Okay, so is he talking about we should be broke, down, busted, disgusted? What's he talking about? He's talking about a desire that supersedes the desire of God. Anytime that you have a passion for something above the passions of God, then that becomes idolatry. And he says, but those who desire or have passion above God to be rich fall into temptation, and they stare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, in which draw men into destruction and perdition. Then he comes along in verse number, if you will, in verse number, take a look at it with me, in verse number 10. And he makes this statement. For the love of money, not the love of God, didn't say money, you can't have money. But he's saying the love of money, where the love that you have for money is greater than your love for God. Someone says, oh, that would never happen. It never happens until you have the money, and the money becomes your identity. Yeah. Some of the richest people, I've just been around some of the richest people in recently, and I have to watch myself because I might be watching on this. Turn off if this is you that I'm talking about, because I don't want you to hear. And some of the richest people I know, their identity is in their wealth. And they are the stingiest givers. Sorry. If you're watching, I'm sorry, it's true. They are the stingiest givers. And why don't they give? Because their identity, their recognition and approval of men, their acceptance, everything is wrapped up. Their complete identity is on what they have. If they give away what they have, they lost their identity. So they don't give anything at all. You know, you go there and you sit down with them and you talk to them and it's a great thing. Oh, that's wonderful. They've got $500 million in the bank and they write you a check for $500. It's like, what is that? Keep it, man. I don't need your $500. That's not what I'm talking about. See, because, listen to this, the love of money. In other words, where money itself, the economic condition of yourself, is your approval, recognition, becomes your identity, and you literally love money. When that happens, you're in an amazing position of failure, which is called idolatry. And it says this, it's the root of all kinds of evil. In other words, it's the very thing that keeps us from being what God would have us to be, because we're now going to, because of the money, because of the identity, because of the recognition you get from that money, then what happens is that it becomes that this is what you do. You function contrary to the ways of God. That's what he just said. Of which some have snared from the, strayed from the faith. Because they had their finances, realizing that the finances were more important to them than their relationship with God. So they keep a lukewarm relationship with God and a powerfully fired up relationship with the finances. Yeah. And they spend more time on the finances than they do with God. And he says that kind of love gets you in trouble. Now notice what it says. In their greediness and they pierce themselves through. Notice how it says, pierce themselves through. They made the choice, they made the call. God's not saying don't have money. He's saying how the money handles you. If the money handles you instead of you handling it, then all of a sudden you're in the wrong place. And he comes along and he says they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I mean, that is such an eye-opener for all of us. God's not saying he doesn't want to prosper you in the area of economic gain. Economic gain is very important to all of us. But economic gain cannot be ahead of the things of God. The Bible makes it very clear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek what? First, his kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, and then these things will be added onto you. And when they're added onto you, if they start to take the place of God, you end up failing according to what that just said. Are you following me? And that's the frailty. So God wants to take you to a place of economic gain. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. But the question is whether or not we're become mature enough that the prosperity doesn't control us, and then God always controls us. And that's absolutely the formula. That's the failure in all of this. So what we've been doing last five times we've been together is we've been looking at the Word of God, and there's so much about it. It's just amazing how much is in the Scripture about finances, because why? Our hearts are easily tied to our finances. And what a person does with their finances has a lot to do with where their heart really is. And that God knows that. And that's why he talks about it so many times in Scripture. In fact, he talks more about finances in Scripture than he does about salvation. That's an amazing truth, isn't it? Shocking truth. So this is something I'm saying to you. God wants to prosper you, but there are conditions in the prosperity process. Are you following me? Tonight, things to do. I like these things to do. Number one, things to do. Write this down. Avoid the influence of the wicked. I don't know how many people see other people prosper that are not Christians and think so much of their prosperity and treat them so differently because they are prosperous when in fact they are just rank sinners with money. And that we become rank sinners with money because they have money, and we put, listen to this, we put this prestige power on them like they're some kind of elite because they have money. And they become people who influence our feelings, influence our relationship with the living God, touch us deeply on the inside because we see them prosper. And oftentimes we are moved by the prosperity of others who don't even know God. When in fact, oftentimes the prosperity of those that do not know God is a trap to those who do know God. And you have to watch yourself that you are not influenced by the wicked. Because if you are, what it does is it takes you away from the things of God. And all of a sudden you start following that lifestyle. You start acting like them. You start evaluating things like they do. And it won't be long before you start doing what they do because they were economically in a position that impressed you. Do not ever let people with money impress you. Let me tell you something. When you have met God, no one ought to impress you. I don't care who they are. I don't care how many degrees they have. I don't care if they're the president of the United States 18 times over. No one impresses you but God. Because you met God. Are you following me? And sometimes we let little things like money impress us and stop us, and we wonder how in the world they got there, and we'll even go to the place where we do what they do to get there like they did, and all of a sudden we're in trouble, like it said in those last verses. We pierce ourselves through and wonder what happened. Interesting. The psalmist, if you will, his name is Asaph. He's actually the psalmist with David in the book of Psalms. He's a music leader of David, worship leader. In Psalm 73, he makes a couple of statements that all of us probably can relate with. Listen to these verses. There's probably not one person in here that doesn't relate with this guy. His name is Asaph. In verse number one, it says these words. The Psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel And then he goes on and says, to such as are pure in heart. Wait a minute. I could preach 2 weeks on just what he just said. See, you don't read a verse and just skip over it. You've got to read a verse for what the verse says. Truly God is good to Israel. Then he clarifies what part of Israel he's good to. To such as ones that have a pure heart. A pure heart for what? For the things of this world? No, a pure heart for God. That's what he's talking about. So if you want the God of Israel to be good to you, you're going to have a pure heart for the things of God. That's what he just said. I haven't even gotten into the verse yet. I don't know where that came from. It just kind of like popped out of me right there. So anyway, here's what it says. As for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Wait a minute. Listen to what he just said. Have you ever been in a place in your walk with God where you can't figure something out and it's like, this doesn't make sense at all, and it almost hurt your walk with God? And you almost had to go past what doesn't make sense and get in to start walking in faith. And he makes this statement. He says, but as for me, they're talking about Asaph now. He says, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. What's he talking about? I almost fell away from the things of God. Oh, wow, what a statement. And then verse number 3 comes along and describes what it is. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, he saw the wicked, those that did not, wicked or somebody who doesn't serve God, doesn't give a flip about God, denies God, cusses God out, says there is no God, a fool serve God, do everything contrary. Have you ever noticed oftentimes people that are the most contrary to God are the richest? And they are traps. Christians to your walk. Because if you don't understand what the process is, because you see, the devil has no problem in making them rich as long as he can get his soul, which he will have, and your soul, because you can't figure it out. And you almost slip from where you're at because it doesn't make sense why, my goodness, you serve God. My goodness, you went to church 3 times last month. My goodness, you even threw in a $5 bill. Didn't want to, but you threw it in. And you even read your Bible a little bit. And you didn't fall asleep during the preaching. And you started to give yourself. And all of a sudden, those that do nothing start to flourish economically in front of you. Anybody been there besides me? And you say to yourself, what the heck, God, is this all about? I serve you, I go to church, I sing to you, I raise my heart, my hands to you, I've given everything up to follow you, and they don't do nothing, and they prosper, and me, what? I have nothing. What's going on, God? And that's what exactly where the devil wants you to do, is start questioning your relationship with God. That'll slip you away from the things of God. Is anybody listening? Now, wait a minute, I'm not finished. Don't clap yet, I haven't finished. When you can clap when I'm finished. Verse number 11, let's jump to verse number 11. And they say, how does God know? In other words, what they're really saying, God doesn't know nothing. I know everything, I got money. That's what the translation is. And there is knowledge in the Most High? You gotta be kidding me. That's what the rich people that are wicked say. Verse number 12, watch this, verse 12. Behold, those who are ungodly, who are always at ease, they increase in riches. Right before your very eyes, it looked like they're doing just so good all the time. They increase in riches. Go to verse 16 with me. In verse 16, it says this. Then I thought how to understand this. It was too painful to me. Have you ever seen this when you're serving God and somebody around you doesn't serving God and they prosper and you're not prospering, you're struggling, and it becomes a very painful thing because you're saying, maybe God hates me. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God is not there with me. Maybe there isn't even a real God. Isn't that guy prospering? Doesn't that prove that? No, not at all. Verse number 17 comes along and says this, until I went in to the sanctuary of God. In other words, I was falling apart. I almost slipped. There was failure. It looked like they were going to, they always seemed to prosper at everything. I was really frustrated with them. They question God. They don't serve God. I don't question. I serve God. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not prospering at all. And he says, I don't understand. And it was so painful. I couldn't figure it out until I walked into church. And then I realized there's a bigger picture than that guy's wallet. There's a bigger picture than that guy's wallet. Verse 18. Surely you set them on a slippery place. Oh, my, my, my. They're going to fail. You cast them down into destruction. Verse 19. Oh, and how they are brought to desolation. In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror. That's their future when your future is eternal life with God. And when you get into the house of God, you start to realize how important you are to God and how important God is to you. And you may be the brokest person in the world, but you're the richest to God. Come on, somebody. So here's the point, real quick. Number one point, avoid the influences of the wicked. Number two, watch the motive of the heart. It's very easy to have our hearts swayed by finances and becomes the motive of what we do, becomes foolish. This is really all about your heart with God. It's not about what you do, what you don't do, what you accomplish, don't accomplish. That's all important. It's all wonderful. But it's really all about this product that beats inside your chest that governs your direction and your heart. And if you and I don't watch our hearts and the motives of our hearts, sometimes our motives become tainted by life and wealth and finances. And if you're going to be wealthy and God's going to prosper you, you're going to have to watch yourself in the midst of prosperity that the motive of what you do is not about money, it's about... One person got it, make him an elder. It's not... Let me try it again. It's not about money, it's about God. And that's what this is all about, is the heart. And the motive of the heart can so easily change when the finances come in. And that's where we make massive decisions and massive mistakes. And it's hard because all of a sudden lifestyles change. All of a sudden your living conditions change. All of a sudden your appearances change. All of a sudden, you're doing, going, saying, being, speaking things you never spoke, done, did before. All because of the finances. But the motive of the heart is what cannot ever change. And that's the very key to this success, is what the heart does. I can't tell you how many people in my life I have known over the years that start to come to church, start to tithe, start to get somewhat successful, start to pay their bills, start, you know, they got this great job or even two great jobs, and all of a sudden they have more money than they know what to do with it, buy a house, buy a second house, can't come to church. You know why they can't come to church? Because they got two houses. Now, you know, they pay on both of them. They feel funny on weekend coming to church. After all, they're making payment on it. So they take their weekend, go to the second house, and all of a sudden, the motive of their life becomes the economics that condition, the economics that keeps them going instead of the God they met. And when the motive of your life changes, may I say this to you? You're going to bring destruction on yourself. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 20, and then verse 22. We'll skip 21. A faithful man will abound with blessing. Notice the word faithful. You ought to circle it. If there's anything God's looking for, you got to hear this from me. You're listening? God's not looking for qualified. God's looking for faithful. I'm teaching that to young pastors even as I speak. God's not looking for qualified. God's looking for faithful. The world looks for qualified and doesn't give a flip about faithful. But God is looking for that which is faithful, not just qualified. And many people will come through the church and they'll have all the gifts and talents, they'll have all the intelligence and smarts, they'll have all the degrees, all the abilities, they'll have all the skills to be qualified, but they find themselves in a place where they're not faithful. And God writes through Paul to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, the things that I shared with you, I want you to share it with those who are faithful and are apt to teach. Two things, faithful and who are apt to teach, not people who can teach. They haven't even learned how to be qualified teachers yet, just apt to. Maybe someday they will. What was the first thing God was looking for? Share with what I have with those who are what? Faithful. God's looking for faithful. Man, you're not getting me away from God. You're not getting me out of my spot. I'm going to keep on going no matter what comes, and there will come. I'm staying in there with God. I'm going to remain faithful. And then you, from the faithfulness, develops the quality to do what? Teach. And to be qualified. God's always looking for the faithful. So he comes along and he says, a faithful man will abound in blessings. But he who hastens to be rich, in other words, I'm chasing after money, not God, will not be unpunished. Jump down to verse 22. It says, a man with an evil eye chases after riches. Evil means an eye contrary to the ways of God. Now, riches aren't contrary to the ways of God. How you handle riches are, if the heart isn't right. He says, and does not consider poverty will come upon him. Oh, my goodness sakes. You find so many people that had things going so well. And all of a sudden, in the midst of going well, they start messing up. And they start messing up because they're not just stupid. They start messing up because they misunderstood that what happened and what took place is their motives of their heart had changed from the time that they began being faithful. How to get out of that? Get back to being faithful. And everything will be restored. And that's what God's talking about. We're talking about things to do. Avoid the influence of the wicked. Watch for the motive of the heart. Number three, maintain wisdom. What do I mean by maintaining wisdom? You can have wisdom but not maintain it. What good is wisdom if you have it today but you give up on it tomorrow? What good is wisdom if you have a heart for something today, but you stop after a short period of time? You have got to have not only wisdom today, you've got to maintain that wisdom all through the rest of your life. And wisdom, without wisdom, you do stupid things. So all of a sudden, wisdom becomes so important for you in the dealing with riches. Because if you don't maintain the wisdom, then what happens, all the influence of the wicked come in, all the compromise on the heart comes in, and you find yourself in a place of doing something you don't want to do. You have to maintain, if you hear me, the wisdom of God. I'm going to take you to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse number 11. Let's just pop it up on the overhead. It's kind of a weird little verse, but I think you'll find it fascinating as I explain it to you. The 17th chapter, verse number 11 says this, as a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. In other words, not God's way. You can get riches. Anybody can get riches. You know people that are ungodly that get riches their way. Riches isn't the issue. The issue is whether or not you get it right, God's way. It will leave him in the midst of days. In other words, have you ever known anybody that's made a whole lot done the wrong way and all of a sudden they find themselves broke down the road? Some of you have been that way. Down the road, it'll leave him in the midst of days. And at the end, he will be a fool. Now here's so that you can understand why wisdom must be maintained. Let me show you this verse. As a partridge, we don't have partridges. We don't understand partridges. But a partridge is a bird type that lays its eggs in a nest. And what it will do, it will build this nest, put its eggs in the nest, and then, like anything, will brood over them, sit on that nest, hang on them until the eggs hatch. But here it says these words, that does not hatch. The ones that don't hatch is because the partridge built the nest in the middle of a road. And people, dogs, animals, sheep, goats in those days came by and trampled the nest. Not very wise. And you and I can be just doing everything the right way and not apply wisdom in your finances and you find yourself and maintaining that wisdom and finding yourself building a nest in the middle of the road where everybody tramples on it and your eggs never hatch. You gotta build the nest, you gotta lay the eggs, you gotta brood over them, but you also have to have wisdom about what you do and where you do it. Are you following me? So to anybody that doesn't do it the right way, God's way, then it's subject to leaving him right in the middle of life. All of a sudden you think you got it made, and all of a sudden you find yourself down the road broke, wondering what the heck went on, and then at the end, you're nothing but a fool because you built your nest with your eggs in it in the middle of the road and got squished. And that's stupidity, no wisdom. Isn't that an interesting verse? Which brings us to number four, things to do. Number one, remember, was avoid the influence of the wicked. Number two is watch the motives of the heart. Isn't that important? Number three, maintain wisdom. I like number four. Maintain a realistic value system. A realistic value system means you place value on areas of life that you can understand and see. There is no value to life without God. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. You could have the greatest cars. You could have a garage full of Bentleys. You could have trucks that are hiked to the roof up here. You got to have two ladders to get up to them. You could have second homes, third homes, fourth homes. You can have all of that. And then you place a value on that instead of the value on what you had in the beginning, which has to be simply your heart totally and completely fixed on him. Can I just say this to you? You got to get, if you don't get anything, get this. This has never been a compromised relationship with God. And I've said it every service for 26 years. It's an all or nothing relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot have a little Jesus, a little of the job, a little of the wife, little of the kids, little of the sports, little of the vacation, a little of the money, bring it all together and have one big family life that works. The value system is not there. It's God, and there is, he's so out in front, there isn't even a second place. That's the kind of relationship. You know, can I just say this? In American churches, that is not preached. And you know why it's not preached? Because you, they think, can't handle the truth. And they much rather tickle your ears so you come back to church and give your money than someone tell you the truth. In other words, if you have the wrong value system, you will mess up everything. There's only one value in your life. That's God, and everything else follows when you put him first. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I'll just put it up on the overhead for you, the 6th chapter, this time verse number 7. It says, and we brought nothing into this world. And it's for certain you're going to take everything you've ever got with you. Does your Bible say that? I mean, some people act that way because they have a wrong value system. Like, it's mine. I got to have it. It's all I have. Can I tell you something? If that's all you have, you need to slap yourself. You got God, and he's all you have, and he's all you ever need. And he, when you get that part down, he'll give you the rest. So he says, you're not going to take anything with you. I mean, you ever seen a dead man? They don't take nothing. You know, their kids are coming in and say, oh, Dad didn't need that gold ring. Let me have that. You know, oh, Mom doesn't need that. But she got gold in her teeth. Let me shut her mouth, take the gold out of her teeth. Put that in my pocket, too. That's worth some money right there. I'll wash it off. It's okay. Can I tell you something? I know it's gross. Happens all the time. Here's my point. You can't take anything with you. You came into this world naked. And what a sight you were. You had a pot belly, and when you leave, you'll have another pot belly. You ever seen old people like me? It's like, what the heck happened? I look like my grandchildren. They're only a year old. You're not taking one thing with you. Place the value where it needs to be while you're here with God. I'll close with these verses. Just pop up 1 Timothy, the last verse. Verse 17 says, commend those who are rich in present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in, I love this word, uncertain riches. Don't you know they're uncertain? But in a living God who gives us all richly, all things to enjoy. Verse 18. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willingly to share. Do I have 19? Storing up for themselves a good foundation. This is a value system. For the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Listen. You may not have the Bentley, but you will have the gold of heaven for eternity. And I don't know about you, I'd much rather have that than anything. And that's the value we're talking about. If God spoke to you tonight, come on, give the Lord a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.